I am here in the presence of greatness. Probably, from my perspective, one of the top two or three wide receivers all time. I think you and Jerry and maybe Marvin, maybe the top three of all time.
I'll take that.
an honest to God pleasure. So the first thing I have to ask, because I am a long-suffering Raiders fan, and you suffered through some seasons as well. L.A., Oakland, or Vegas in your heart?
Oh, well, you know, that's pretty tough. I believe that the team belongs in Oakland. There's no doubt about that. I think that's where the root of the franchise is. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem as if the city officials felt that way, too.
And, right.
You know, I don't think they gave enough effort to really get this thing done. I mean, I was with the Raider brass when they were making this tough decision. And literally, you had people in tears because they did not want to move the team out of Oakland. But it comes to a point where you have to do something. And I mean, since I've known about the Raiders, because really growing up in Dallas, you don't know about anything but the Dallas Cowboys. And you get to college and you know the Chicago Bears because I'm up there by Chicago at Notre Dame. So when I really found out or started to, when I got drafted by the Raiders, they were looking for a stadium then in 1988, trying
right.
to find their own stadium. And, you know, here we are 32 years later and it's finally happening for them. So I'm happy. I'm happy for the franchise. I think this is going to be incredible going forward.
And I will always be a hardcore Raider fan.
Have Oakland to be,
Raider
yeah. fan. Once you got that Raider blood in you, it's hard to get out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when I was reading about you and just kind of following up on some information, I didn't realize, even though I've been a Raider fan since I'm you know a kid, I grew up in the Bay Area, I didn't realize that the statistics that you have, I mean, again, one of the top receivers of all time, and you had, and then no disrespect, some of the worst quarterbacks of all time. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, Jerry Rice
like
had
call
Montana.
Him inexperienced.
Yeah,
that's
Jerry
what I like
Rice
to call
had
him.
Montana. You know, I mean, and you were, I didn't even know some of these guys, names. And you were still just an incredible, I think the quote I saw was, just throw it my direction, I'll do the rest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and it was just phenomenal. So you did that all through your Raider career. And your phenomenal Heisman Trophy winner, I think the first receiver?
Wide receiver, yes.
Out of Notre Dame?
True wide receiver. Johnny Rogers has a little problem with that, but, you know, he was a running back and a wide receiver, but yes, the first true wide receiver, yes.
So now that, you've done Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing with your career now, your afterlife, after football life? Because, you know, in talking with you guys over the last couple of days, there's this locker room brotherhood that is just so powerful.
It is.
And then when you leave, how do you keep involved? Because you lose your family that way to some extent.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, for me, you know, I had a couple guys who I were very close with, and, you know, Chester McLaughlin passed away. You know, he was my good friend about 8 years ago. He actually, at 42 years old, passed away. And that was very difficult for me because, I mean, Chester was a guy who, he introduced me to my wife. You know, we sort of made this journey into being, I don't want to say sleazy or whatever, but into, you know, trying to live for God, you know, at the same time. And
into being adults again.
Yeah, right, yeah, right, you know. And, of course, we had the football thing in common. So, you know, so he was somebody who I can talk to about all my issues that was going on. And to lose him was a very difficult thing for me. But yeah, I mean, there is a sense. I mean, thankfully, I have a good family. I have a big family around me. And so you try and, you know, run your problems through them now instead of, you know, going to the locker room like you used to be able to
right.
do. So, but yeah, I mean, it's an issue. It's something that you have to be cognizant of. You can't just, you know, haphazardly go through life because you'll find yourself in a very dark spot if you don't, you know, take care of some issues that
right.
you could have taken care of years ago.
So speaking of family, you know, one of the things, I'm a big believer in the family, and we have between my brothers and sisters, we have about 40 of us come together for Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff. But thinking back when mom and grandma were cooking dinner for you,
mm-hmm.
that meal, if you could have that meal again today, what would that meal be?
Oh, you know, my mom is fortunately still with me, and so I mean, I could have that meal Monday if I want it. You know, if I text her today and say, this is what I need, it'll be there. But, you know, she, well, my dad passed away about 7 years ago also. But about 25 years before that, he was diagnosed as being pre-diabetes or whatever that may be.
Right.
And she immediately went from soul food cooking to cooking like, you know.
Health food, right.
Yeah. And it was amazing, right? And she did that, I mean, to preserve his life.
And for 25 years of it.
And she did it.
Right.
But if you want her to throw down, if you want her to put a toe in it, she can still put a toe in it. But it would be, you know, fried chicken, red beans and rice, you know what I mean? Macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the staples. Yes. All the staples of childhood.
Yes, yes. And some greens, please.
Okay.
Can I have some greens?
Wonderful.
Please? Thank you.
Tim Brown, it has been, I mean, my greatest honor. I'm just so pleased to have met you, and thank you very much for joining
us
today.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.